Good morning. Psalm 23 is probably probably one of the most well-known chapters in the whole Bible. Even people who've never been part of church or don't attend church regularly have likely heard the words, "The Lord is my shepherd." Psalm 23 gives us two images. First, a sheep and its shepherd. Second, a guest at a banquet being served by a generous host. I find that unlike some of David's other psalms, Psalm 23 is easier to follow. The language is simple, the images are everyday and familiar, and there's no overly complicated theology. Just a shepherd leading his sheep and a host preparing a table for his guest. During David's life, he was both a shepherd and a host. And yet, in this psalm, David doesn't picture himself as the shepherd or as the host, but sees himself in the role of the sheep and the guest. I'm going to go through this short and well-known psalm, verse by verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. That word Lord in our Bibles is actually the name Yahweh, the covenant name of God. And David says this God, Yahweh, is his shepherd, not just a shepherd, my shepherd. It's personal and it's relational. Now fast forward to the New Testament, and Jesus says in John 10, I am the good shepherd. It's not just a nice metaphor, it's a claim to divinity. Jesus is saying, I am the shepherd David was talking about. I am Yahweh in the flesh. Most sheep and whales are currently identified by a little blob of paint on their wool. In David's days, the relationship between a shepherd and a sheep was much closer and much more intimate than it is now. David knew his sheep by name, and the sheep knew his voice. And that's why David specifically says, the Lord is my shepherd. And because of that relationship, because of who the shepherd is, David can say, I lack nothing, or I shall not want. David isn't saying he has everything he's ever dreamed of. He's saying he knows the one who provides exactly what he needs, that the shepherd is enough. In John 4, when Jesus meets the woman at the well coming to draw water, but really she's thirsty for something much deeper, Jesus says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. And that's what David is talking about, not just physical needs, but soul-level satisfaction. Sheep are known for eating a lot. They graze for 8 to 14 hours a day, constantly consuming. And honestly, we're not that different. We try to fill ourselves with stuff like careers, entertainment, and distractions, always consuming and yet still feeling empty. But if we want to quench that deep thirst in our souls, we have to bow to the one who is the shepherd of our souls. I heard someone talk about these images from nature. When animals go to drink from a stream, they have to bow down. They lower themselves in order to receive. In the same way, we have to humble ourselves before the shepherd. Jesus offers living water, but we only receive it when we humbly come to him thirsty, ready to follow. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. In this part of the psalm, we see the shepherd not only provides for his sheep, he gives them rest. David says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now sheep don't lie unless they feel totally safe and secure. If a sheep is hungry or anxious, it won't rest. So when David says God makes him lie down, he's talking about a shepherd who knows when we need to slow down. And most of us struggle with this. We keep working, thinking we'll finally have peace if we just get that job or that number in the bank account. But what does Jesus say in Matthew 11, verse 28? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you will find rest for your souls. That's what David is describing, rest for the soul, rest that only the shepherd can give. David has learned that life in God's hand is better than life in his own. And that's why David says, he leads me beside quiet waters. The phrase quiet waters literally means waters of rest. It's where a sheep drinks peacefully and safely. But again, notice the word leads. God doesn't push or shove. He leads and he guides. He knows what we need and when we need it. And when we follow, he gives what nothing else can. He refreshes our souls. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. We like to plan our future, make our decisions, and go our own way. but sheep who wander off on their own end up in danger, lost, or eaten. David says, he guides me, meaning God has final authority, but he's leading with purpose. Now, God doesn't just give us direction, he gives us the right direction. And why does he do this? David says, for his name's sake. And that might sound a bit strange at first, but through this we can see that God's reputation is on the line in how he leads and cares for his people. If the sheep go off a cliff, what does that say about the shepherd? When God guides us, he's not only doing it for our good, but for his glory. His character is being displayed in the way he takes care of us. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. He doesn't just point us on the right path. He is the right path. Following him is the only way to truly walk in what's good, lasting, and life-giving. So as we follow Jesus, we're not just being led to safety, we're being led to sanctity. We're learning to reflect lives that, to live lives that reflect his name. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David hasn't stumbled into the valley by accident. The good shepherd has led him into it. Right now, we live in what feels like a dark valley culturally, a time of confusion, fear, division, and suffering. And sheep are most vulnerable in the valley. Predators are hiding in the shadows, the path is narrow, and vision is limited. And yet, David says, I will fear no evil. Not because evil isn't real, but because the good shepherd is really there, for you are with me. David's peace comes from knowing that the shepherd is walking him through it. The same shepherd who was there in the green pastures doesn't leave him in the dark valley. He's there in both. The shepherd has two tools. The rod, used for protection, to fight off enemies and also to lovingly discipline the sheep when they wander. And the staff, used for guidance, gently nudging sheep back on track and sometimes rescuing them when they get stuck. So when David says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me, he's saying, I know you're protecting me, and I know you're guiding me, even when I don't understand the path. We see on the cross, Jesus, the good shepherd, entered the darkest of valleys. And because he walked through it, and because he rose again, we can now follow him through our dark valleys with confidence rather than fear. So David's reminding us here that even in the darkest place, the presence of God is enough to bring us peace. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Now David shifts the picture from the shepherd and the sheep to the host and the guest. God prepares a banquet right in front of his enemies. So David is sitting, eating, and at peace, not because the threats are gone, but because the host is greater than the threat. God honors him. You anoint my head with oil. A sign of welcome, care, and blessing. And then he says, my cup overflows. It's not just enough, but it's more than enough. A picture of joy, abundance, and God's overflowing provision. And we see this in Jesus too, feeding the 5,000 with 12 baskets left over and turning water into the finest wine in overflowing jars. When God provides, it's never half-hearted. In order to enjoy this kind of peace and blessing, we have to sit at his table. We must have a friendship with him. Jesus says in Revelation 3, verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in and eat with them. The only way to know this blessing and peace is to know the host, to walk with him, to talk to him, and to listen to him. In short, the invite has been sent, the table has been set, the cup is full. The host is now waiting for you to feast with him. And the final verse, surely your goodness and love will follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's goodness and love are not temporary blessings. They're lifelong companions. The word follow here means to pursue. Just like Pharaoh chased the Israelites and the Israelites chased the Midianites, God's goodness and love now chases David. Predators often attack from behind. But in David's imagery, God's goodness and love are guarding the rear. God's got you covered, front and back. His loving goodness leading you, and his loving goodness following you. You're completely surrounded. If you continue the shepherd and sheep illustration, you can think of God's loving goodness like a sheepdog. making sure that the flock stays together and helping the sheep move efficiently. And David ends by saying, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In other words, I'll never be outside God's care. I'm not just invited over for a meal, but I'm invited to stay forever. And that's the promise for every person who follows the Good Shepherd. His presence now, and a place in his home forever. Amen.